The new head of the Serbian Orthodox Church has made an appeal for dialogue to overcome the long-standing divisions with the Catholic Church. Patriarch Irinej was elected and installed in Belgrade on January the 23rd as the 45th leader of the Serbian Orthodox Church, which counts about 11 million members worldwide. Noting that the year 2013 marks the 1,700th anniversary of the Edict of Milan, establishing religious freedom throughout the Roman Empire, the Patriarch said it's time to overcome past divisions and take a new Christian road. Though Christians split into East and Western churches in 1054 and no pope has ever visited Serbia, Irinej suggested the anniversary could be marked by both churches in the Serbian city of Nice, birthplace of Constantine, one of the two Roman emperors who issued the Edict of Milan. Papal spokesman Father Federico Lombardi said the suggestion was welcomed with great joy in the Vatican.
With the high respect that the Serbian church has within Serbian society, obviously he becomes a crucial, not only religious figure, but social figure, a figure in national life. So this is a very high profile position.
Felix Corley is editor of Forum 18 News Service. He talked to my colleague Ema McCarthy about the new Serbian patriarch and about the future of his church's relations with the rest of the Christian world.
Well, he'll be 80 later this year, in 2010. He's actually, like the late Patriarch Pavle, he's really lived through so many upheavals throughout his life. He was born in what was the Kingdom of Serbia, in central Serbia itself, but he's served in what is now Kosovo, a state which the Serbian Orthodox Church and the Serbian state do not recognize. He studied in Greece with the World Council of Churches scholarship in his time. He'd also been in a monastery in what is now the independent state of Montenegro. And obviously he's lived through the communist period as well, the Nazi occupation before that, so the communist period, then the post-communist turmoil within Serbia, Milosevic's regime. He's lived through the Balkan Wars, obviously the more recent conflict over Kosovo. So he's had quite a turbulent his country has lived through quite turbulent times, and he's served the church through all this. And he's probably not the most high profile of the candidates who could have been chosen. Now, quite interestingly, the Serbian Orthodox Church since 1967 has used what they call the apostolic choice, i.e. the three main candidates who've been agreed by all the bishops of the church as the three sort of top-ranking candidates. Their names are put into an envelope into separate envelopes inside a copy of the Bible, and they are actually chosen by lot. Now, this was introduced in 1967 to prevent the communist authorities from more or less nominating or pressuring the church to adopt their favored candidate. This has really, in this sense today, come up really with an unexpected choice. He's probably the least likely of the three to have won election in a ballot, a direct ballot of all the voters. And many people believe the Metropolitan Amfilohije of Montenegro would have been the one. He's known as a very hardline Serbian nationalist who does not believe in ecumenical contacts with other Christian churches, very much someone who believes that the Serbian people should be united in one state. He was a supporter, very vigorous supporter of Karadzic and the Bosnian Serbs during the war. Now, Bishop Irinej of Niš is less visible in that kind of capacity. He's seen as a much more moderate candidate, and he will have to take forward the church trying to redefine its role in the new Serbia.
As you said, he's described as a moderate candidate. What hopes are there for continuing or indeed improving ecumenical dialogue with the other churches, even though they are in a minority in Serbia, and indeed with fellow churches beyond Serbian borders, given the election of Bishop Irinej?
Well, the religious minorities in Serbia have had a very difficult time in recent years. There's been a lot of physical attacks on them, mainly on Protestants, on Jehovah's Witnesses, on the very small Hare Krishna community, and on Muslims as well. There's a large Muslim minority in Serbia, and they've been subject to attacks. There's been a lot of vigorous rhetoric against them in the media. Many of the government agencies, especially the religion ministry, is very close to various factions of the Serbian Orthodox Church. Now, obviously, the Bishop Irinay, now Patriarch Irinay, won't want to disentangle close ties with the state, but it remains to be seen whether he will try to prevent this quasi-state-sponsored or state-sanctioned or tolerated attacks on religious minorities, whether he'll distance the church from that kind of negative, aggressive role or people claiming to act in the name of the church, aggressive role against religious minorities, whether he will support a tolerant, open society where ethnic minorities, even, for example, homosexuals, have had a very difficult time, being, you know, criticized and attacked by priests and senior clergymen, and had a very difficult time in the country. Will he be looking forward to a more open society, or will he be looking backwards to try to keep Serbia as what people would like to see as a monolithic, Orthodox, traditional, nationalist, inward-looking country? Another question that he will also have to deal with, and one which has international implications, is the role of the Serbian Orthodox Church in Macedonia. And Bishop Irinay personally had responsibility for overseeing some of the overseeing the activity of the Serbian Orthodox Church in Macedonia in the last few years. The communist authorities and people within Macedonia organized a breakaway Orthodox Church, which has never been recognized by the wider Orthodox world. They've been on-off sort of dialogues with the Macedonian Orthodox over the years, but they haven't really got anywhere. Now, a couple of years ago, the Serbian Orthodox decided to set up its own parallel jurisdiction again within Macedonia, and this has suffered a lot from the Macedonian state, which has backed the Macedonian Orthodox, and the leader, Bishop Jovan, has been imprisoned several times on what the Macedonians say are trumped-up charges. Now, what will Bishop Irinay do? He obviously has to try to rally the other Orthodox churches to back the Serbian claims against the Macedonians, to try to prevent any other Orthodox churches from recognizing the autocephaly or independence of the Macedonian Orthodox Church. But will he pursue a track of dialogue, or will he pursue a track of rebuilding parallel structures, more or less saying, we've given up on dialogue with the Macedonian Orthodox, we will establish Serbian Orthodox dioceses within Macedonia?
Finally, Felix, what is the position regarding the Serbian Orthodox Church in relation to the other Orthodox churches? I'm thinking here of the Patriarchate of Moscow, I'm thinking of the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople.
Well, the Orthodox world is sort of in the middle of a kind of cold war, really, one could say, between the Ecumenical Patriarchate in Istanbul and Constantinople and the Moscow Patriarchate. The Moscow Patriarchate is by far the biggest. It outnumbers all the other Orthodox churches in terms of members put together. So it's a massive influence in the Orthodox world. You've seen a resurgence of that church, and it's the church is sort of throwing its weight around internationally, you might say. I think the Serbians, they emotionally, Serbs feel quite close to Russians, but I think they would be sort of more, they'd be on the sidelines and be more of a kind of balancing influence, I think, trying not to back one against the other either way.
Thanks there to Felix Cawley, editor of Forum 18 News Service.